Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Rajpurana Biodiesel Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Samvad Partners Investor Relations Agency. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Puneet Thakkar from Samvad Partners Investor Relations Agency. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Thakkar.
Good afternoon, dear investors. I'm Puneet from Samvad Partners, and I welcome you to the H1 FY26 earnings conference call of Rajpurana Biodiesel Limited. Joining us from the management, we have Mr. Sarthak Soni, MD of Rajpurana Biodiesel Limited, and now I would like to hand over the call to him. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Puneet sir. Thanks for my introduction. Hello everyone, respected investors and partners. Namaskar, Aadab, Sat Sri Akal, and Jai Jinendra. I hope everyone is keeping healthy and doing very well. I would like to thank you all for taking out your valuable time for today's con call. Moving forward, I am truly delighted to share that this has been one of the strongest periods in our company's journey. Our results not only reflect financial growth but also operational maturity, strategic clarity, and the unwavering commitment of our entire team. Our targets strengthened our fundamentals, widened our customer base, and executed with discipline. Our performance this year stands as proof that when strategy, agility, and governance come together, any environment becomes a platform for growth. We have delivered robust revenue and margin expansion. We have improved our operational efficiency through technology, optimization, and cost discipline. Financially, we remain prudent. We successfully utilized the capital raised in our IPO for immediate working capital needs and technical upgradation along with capacity enhancement. We have strengthened relationships with key institutional and industrial customers also. Overall, we have enhanced our balance sheet and cash flows, ensuring long-term stability. But what I am most proud of is how we prepared not just for short-term gains but for sustained future-focused growth. As the biodiesel sector evolves in India, we are proactively adapting to diversifying our feedstock sources for better cost control. We are increasing integration and control across our processing units. We are working closely with policymakers and industry bodies to support transparency and compliance. And not only that, we are also exploring adjacent energy and sustainability opportunities that complement our core strengths. To all our investors and partners, I want to assure you our company is not only navigating through biodiesel sector but we are scaling and sailing smoothly towards our goals. We are building a business that is durable, compliant, efficient, and positioned for long-term value creation. The outstanding results you see today are not an endpoint. They are just a reflection of the trajectory we have set for ourselves. Ye sirf ek shuruaat hai. They are just a glimpse of our beginning. Moving forward, we are all aligned, our team, with the goal of becoming a one-stop solution for renewable energy across all three segments, which are solid, liquid, and gas. Before I conclude, I would like to share some key takeaways which everyone is likely waiting for. By November end of this year, we would be completing our previous biodiesel allocations of approximately rupees 100 crores. Our H2 numbers will be heavier than H1 numbers. I am very delighted to share that the current OMC's biodiesel tender for the period of November to March 2026 is out, and really glad to share with you that we have bid the highest volume of biodiesel supply ever in our history. We are awaiting allocations for the same of this period. We have successfully enhanced capacity at our Fulera and Meerut units by almost 3 to 4 times, if you've gone through our annual report, you would know that our expansion has been related to technical upgradation and capability. From coming April onwards, our bids in the OMC tender would be as per our enhanced capacity, and we are aiming to produce 130 to 150 kiloliters per day from the coming financial year. As mentioned in our annual report also, for those who have missed the annual report or not gone through it, we have received approvals for establishing two compressed biogas units in the state of Rajasthan. Also, we are on the final stages of acquiring a 262-acre land parcel for planting our own feedstock for producing compressed biogas. The feedstock will be Napier grass. This will directly help us improve our profitability and enhance our sustainable feedstock availability. By January end, we are looking to start the civil work of this compressed biogas project. Last but not the least, we intend to start the civil work of our unit that will be tapping the European Union and the marine blending market of biodiesel in the GCC. By January end, we'll be beginning the civil work for this project also. Currently, we are under review. We are reviewing the location. It has been mostly finalized, and we are awaiting regulatory approvals for the export unit also. Overall, I want to convey that we are different from others because we are not just wanting to grow vertically, but we are wanting to grow horizontally also. We want to expand ourselves into the biomass pellet sector, the compressed biogas sector, and the biodiesel sector in the GCC region. By this, we will be known as a company, as a one-stop solution in all three segments of solid, liquid, and gas. I hope I have conveyed my message to each one of you, and before I conclude, I extend my heartfelt gratitude to each one of you for your trust, patience, and belief in our vision. Your support fuels our ambition, and together we will contribute to build a stronger and more sustainable future in all three segments. Thank you so much. Now we are ready for the question and answer session, please.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from line of Darshan Chauhan, independent investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Congratulations on the strong H1 performance. I have a few questions. So do the H1 numbers reflect revenue only from a tender cycle that is April to July? Because I think that was for 54 crore. Or do they also include deliveries from August to October cycle?
Thank you so much, sir. Excellent question. So April to July numbers ही वो reflect कर रहा है. And the August, September, October, July, August, September, October cycle जो आया था, उसमें we received LOIs and POs very late. So the July, August number is reflecting in our October performance. तो वो जो number था September का, उसमें April, May, June and July number ही reflect कर रहा है.
Okay. And how much active capacity was operational during this April to July cycle? Because I think expanded capacity, whatever we had, we did not beat that much amount, right? So I still think we were not at fully capacity.
Correct, sir. Excellent question again. So our expansion got completed post-September at Fulera, and the commissioning and the trial part at Meerut is still going on. I believe that by December end and January starting, we will be able to commission our enhanced capacities. And in the coming cycle, you will be seeing that we are bidding around 130 to 150 kiloliters per day.
Okay.
combining
so
both.
Basically, okay, understood. So basically, April to July cycle was around like 40 KLPD capacity only.
Was at the old capacity only, sir.
Okay, understood. And is there any additional capacity expansion feasible beyond like 170 KLPD in the existing plants?
Sir, as of now, we have decided that currently we will try and push ourselves to produce 100% capacity, starting with 80% and reaching the 100%. Next year's target will be very clear to maximize our production capacity at Fulera and Meerut both. Along with that, our focus will also be the commissioning of the CBG, the biomass pellets and the export unit in GCC by the end of next year. So that's the clear-cut target that we have defined, and we have very clearly mentioned that in our annual report as well.
Yeah, understood. Thank you. One more question. Like the April to July cycle had, I think, pricing around 82 per liter, and August to October reduced even more to 80 per liter. And there is like ongoing case on Supreme Court as well, which I will not ask around. But was there any improvement in the pricing for like the November cycle that tender was released? Because I think they also did one call around pricing itself.
देखिए सर, ये government policy है. As per National Biofuels Policy of 2018, there is an indicative target of blending 5% biodiesel into diesel. And seeing the target in line, it's a big, massive opportunity size in front of us. करीब 45 से 50 हजार करोड़ की industry का potential है इसमें. And the government is very keen on supporting the biodiesel sector also. Never they have demotivated us. The only thing is that sometimes in the review of policy, pricing becomes a point of discussion, and it is a subject where which cannot be resolved overnight. So we are having active discussions with the ministry, very healthy discussions going on with the OMC as well. And everyone is giving their best to resolve the pricing issue and get it to the levels where it can be viable for the manufacturers as well as the OMCs. And जो 82 per liter आप price कह रहे हैं, नहीं sir, वो 80 ही था हमेशा से. It has been 80 throughout.
Okay, understood. Because like even if like 80 pricing, right, we are at 12 or 13% profit margin, and if like pricing is stable like ethanol blending, suppose like feedstock cost plus like profit margin, then we should see probably healthy margin around 20% or even more.
Yeah, it will, नहीं sir, देखिए मैं आपको एक चीज बोलूँगा. This is the 8-9 years of hard work that we've put in the sector, जिसकी वजह से हम इन prices पे आज ये profitability निकाल रहे हैं. I'll tell you one thing, in biodiesel sector, it is a gestation period that takes every unit to establish itself. A lot of people are wiped in that process. We have been lucky and we have a great team and we have been resilient enough and motivated enough to pass that time. And now we are one of the key players who know where every liter of biodiesel is going in our production process, what are the potential leakages, how to purify the glycerin, how to enhance value, how to maximize our yields, how to operationally optimize our whole process. So the numbers you are seeing today is a long journey that we've come through. So in coming times, if there is price enhancement, we as a company can see enhancement in profits. I cannot comment about others.
Understood. Thank you very much. And the last question from my end, is there any internal revenue target or for like next 3 to 5 years? And can you also give us some light on like the growth journey expect for the company for like next 5 years?
Sir, dekhiye, I will tell you one thing that I have clearly mentioned हमारे को क्या allocations हुई थी और November end में हम क्या number achieve कर लेंगे. I think आपने सुना होगा. And in next 3 to 5 years it's a clear cut journey that we have to take care of. हम 150 metric tons का plant लगा रहे हैं GCC region में, जो कि biodiesel बनाएगा और ships में जो फ्यूल यूज होता है उसमें ब्लेंड होगा बायोडीजल. तो 150 मेट्रिक टन्स हो गया हमारे फुलेरा और मेरठ की कैपेसिटी कंबाइंड, करेक्ट? सो एंड द रेट्स आर 20-30% हायर for that quality of material and in across the country. So now you are आप mathematics में अपन Indians हैं, investors हैं, तो सब sharp हैं कि क्या numbers हम कर लेंगे. मेरे पास भी सब, there are some restrictions where I cannot just come around and quote numbers, but I have given you the size of the unit that we are going to establish there. Along with that, हमारे CBG unit को जो हम establish करेंगे, उसमें revenue ज्यादा नहीं होगा, but trust me, the EBITDA margins are more than 55-60% in the CBG sector. तो going forward, हम solid, liquid और gas तीनों segment में ऐसी company बनना चाहते हैं कि राजपूताना का नाम आए या गैस का नाम आए तो भी हमें जाने, सॉलिड बायोमास का नाम आए तो भी हमें जाने, पेलेट्स का नाम आए तो भी हमें जाने, और बायोडीजल में हम हैं ही. सो वी आर वर्टिकली इंटीग्रेटिंग इन बायोडीजल, वेयर वी आर टैपिंग द वर्ल्ड, पोटेंशियली द वर्ल्ड बिगेस्ट मार्केट ऑफ मैराइन फ्यूल. जीसीसी रीजन इज द सेंटर ऑफ द वर्ल्ड वेर इट कनेक्ट द ईस्ट एंड वेस्ट, सो द शिप ट्रैफिक इज द हाइएस्ट इन दैट रीजन. And as the ship traffic is the highest, it's an opportunity of more than 1,000 crore liters annually, just 24% biodiesel in marine fuel blending. So we are entering a market segment where we are just a drop in the ocean. So our expanding capacities and hitting revenue targets is unlimited in front of us. So going forward, this is our plan, and CBG unit is 10 tons per day that we are starting with in the Ajmer region in Rajasthan.
Understood. Thank you so much. That's it from my end. Again, like, all the best
Thank
for the
you.
actual number and for the future growth as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rohit Patel, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, sir, मैं बड़ोड़ा से बात कर रहा हूँ.
हाँ, नमस्कार सर.
सर नमस्कार. मेरे को एक क्वेश्चन था, ये जो बायोडीजल में नाम तो नहीं लेते, बट ये जो उसके कंपनी में सर जो स्कैम कुछ आ रहा था, वो क्या था? ये कंपनीज में कुछ पहले आया था, फिर कुछ एक कंपनीज में इश्यूज हुए थे, वो थोड़ा उस पे बोल सकते हो? थैंक्स.
सर देखिए, वो किसका कंपनी था, क्या था, वो वी डोंट फोकस ऑन ऑल दीज थिंग्स दैट आर हैपनिंग इन द मार्केट. आप तो आपको ये ध्यान रखना पड़ेगा सर, दैट वी हैव आवर टारगेट्स एंड गोल्स वेरी क्लियर इन फ्रंट ऑफ अस. हमें कहाँ जाना है और दुनिया का सबसे बड़ा बायोडीजल मार्केट टैप करना है, जो कि मैराइन फ्यूल है तो, और यूरोपियन मार्केट है, तो उसकी तरफ हमारी नजर एकदम पैनी तरीके से गड़ी हुई है. और साथ के साथ हमें गैस और सॉलिड बायोमास पैलेट सेक्टर में भी इंडिविजुअली एंटर कर रहे हैं. दिस प्रोजेक्ट प्रोजेक्ट्स हैव ऑलरेडी बीन कंसीव्ड एंड वी आर वेल ऑन ट्रैक ऑन स्टार्टिंग द सिविल वर्क विद देम. सो वट एवर इज हैपनिंग इन द सेक्टर, आई थिंक हर सेक्टर में ही ऐसा कुछ चलता रहता है सर. इट्स नॉट बायोडीजल, इट्स फूड, इट्स स्टील, इट्स दिस, इट्स हॉस्पिटैलिटी, इट्स डिफेंस, एंड एवरीवेयर सम थिंग्स ऑफ दिस सॉर्ट कीप हैपनिंग सर. सो वी डोंट फोकस आर सेल्स ऑन दैट. बाकी वो जो था उसका अगर आपको डिटेल में अपडेट चाहिए होगा तो मैं पता करके आपको जरूर, आई कैन गेट बैक टू यू सर.
रोहित पटेल, कैन आई रिक्वेस्ट यू अनम्यूट योर लाइन प्लीज. रोहित पटेल, डू यू हैव एनी फॉलो अप क्वेश्चन? देयर इज नो रिस्पॉन्स. पार्टिसिपेंट्स, यू मे प्रेस स्टार एंड वन टू आस्क द क्वेश्चन. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Udit Sharma from InvIT Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi,
Hello.
Sardarji. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible? Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay. First of all, congratulations for good set of numbers.
Gee, thank you so much, sir.
Am I audible? I think my voice is missing. Am I audible,
नहीं उदित
Sardarji?
जी, उदित जी आप ऑडिबल हैं, बीच में शायद मिस हो गया था कुछ, तो आप रिपीट करें प्लीज. यू कैन रिपीट योर सेल्फ.
ओके ओके थैंक यू फॉर गिविंग मी द अपॉर्चुनिटी एंड कॉन्ग्रेचुलेशन फॉर स्ट्रॉन्ग सेट्स ऑफ नंबर. सार्थक जी, थोड़ा सा एक बार इंडिया का बायोडीजल मार्केट के बारे में थोड़ा सा एक्सप्लेन कर दीजिए कि हाउ इट विल पैन आउट इन नेक्स्ट 3 इयर्स. एंड अपार्ट फ्रॉम दैट, जो हमारा जीसीसी का अपॉर्चुनिटी है, वहां पे थोड़ा एक बार मार्जिन प्रोफाइल बता दीजिए. हाउ मार्जिन प्रोफाइल विल वर्क देयर? लाइक इंडिया में तो वी नो दैट हाउ बायोडीजल इंडस्ट्री वर्क, तो वहां का मार्जिन प्रोफाइल यहाँ से बेटर होगा या हाउ द सिचुएशन इज देयर?
करेक्ट. सुपर क्वेश्चन सर. आपका योर क्वेश्चन इज डिवाइडेड इन टू पार्ट्स. फर्स्ट द इंडियन मार्केट एंड इट्स फॉर द टारगेट्स एंड द जीसीसी मार्केट एंड इट्स यू कैन से प्रॉफिटेबिलिटी और यूनिट इकोनॉमिक्स. करेक्ट, इफ आई अंडरस्टैंड करेक्टली.
करेक्ट करेक्ट.
सो इन इंडियन मार्केट, एज यू नो दैट एज पर द पॉलिसी देयर इज एन इंडिकेटिव टारगेट ऑफ ब्लेंडिंग 5%. Currently, the blending is even lesser than 0.5% across the country. So the opportunity size is big, and as I mentioned to Darshan ji before, we very well know now that after 10 years, 8-10 years, where and how to make margins in the biodiesel industry using various types of non-edible oils and how to drive ourselves during summer and winter periods. So going forward, you can see that these margins will be stable at 80 rupees a liter price for us. I cannot comment about others. Also, we have a glycerin purification section as well, which enhances our profitability also. So in India, we are very well on track on replicating our numbers in terms of profitability, in terms of the percentage. As our volume grows in the coming times, I think our bottom line will really do very well in the coming times. Now, coming to the GCC part, GCC region is the center of the world. So the opportunity size is so big that 150 metric tons is just the per day of volume is only the volume required by one small shipping company. That's the scale we are talking about. There are more than 500,000 shipping companies working in that region. And this is only the marine market, marine shipping fuel blending market I'm talking about. If I talk about the European Union region, the demand is even higher, as there is a 14% blending mandate across Europe for using biodiesel. So, in terms of unit economics, there is almost 12%-15% more margin you make on your revenues. The revenues per kg cost of selling the biodiesel in Europe, everything sells in per kg is around 125 rupees per kg. So if you're producing 150 metric tons a day at 125 rupees a kg, then you can very well calculate 10-12% of your margin in that. I think I've answered your
Thank
question.
you. Yes, I got the answer. Just one more thing. What is the situation of raw material availability in GCC region? How you look towards it? Because like when we supply the biodiesel, we have to secure the raw material as well to make the good margin
Excellent question,
to
sir.
sustain the business.
Sir, pure in the whole of GCC region, if you see more than 50,000 metric tons of UCOs available monthly, especially the Saudi region has 20,000 to 25,000 metric tons of UCO available. A lot of the GCC regions, UCO is not even being collected as on date. So going and establishing ourselves there, we are not only limiting ourselves to just manufacturing biodiesel, but collecting the untapped opportunity of the UCO market, UCO collection market also. If you see a broader region, which is the MENA region, Middle East and North Africa, North Africa also has a huge opportunity in terms of UCO collection. So, in terms of our volume requirement and the raw material available there, even if 15, 20 units like us come there, then there is still room for producing. I'm not even counting the imports of UCO, which are free there. You can freely import UCO and manufacture biodiesel there also without any duty. So without factoring in the imports, which the import market opens all of the world for you. So even without that, there is ample of feedstock available. That feasibility study has been already been done by us, sir, 1 year back. That's why we went ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Sarthakji. Apart from that, you talked about CBG. So how contract works in CBG? Like you told that you are trying to procure the 262-acre land, if I heard correctly, and
Yeah.
You will use the Napier grass. So how you will supply CBG to the players? Like, I mean, it's a long-term contract or how it works? Can you explain?
Yeah, yeah, sir.
Put little bit light on it.
Yes. So we have taken two key decisions related to CBG. First of all, there is a blending mandate by Government of India, which has given a direction to all the CGDs. By CGDs, I mean city gas distributors like IGL, Torrent, Adani, et cetera, whoever are supplying CNG, to blend five, to mandatorily blend 5% of CBG in their CNG. Seeing this mandate, we identified this sector, and as it was a part of our renewable energy, it fits absolutely fine in our portfolio. So, that's how we decided on to go on ahead with the project. There is a long-term 10-year buyback contract, a tri-party agreement, which happens between the CBG manufacturer, GAIL, Gas Authority of India Limited, and your local CGD. In our case, the local CGD is IGL in Ajmer. So we are already in talks, and I think by January we should be having the long-term contracts. We are readying the papers for that. So this is how the selling part works. Next is our decision of planting our own Napier grass. I'll tell you one thing, there are big stalwarts entering the sector of CBG, like Reliance and a lot of other big names. So generally, we have seen that the big players have a lot of cash to bleed. So they buy the raw material from the market in higher prices and leave smaller plants, smaller companies dry. In order to mitigate that from day one, we have tested the soil of the land, identified the region, done all the feasibility and test reports, and then moved forward to acquire this 262-acre land, which I think by January end, we will be registering in our name. Certain disclosures will be coming out very soon once everything is formalized on the paper. So, in January, we intend to start with the CBG construction, totally based on a feedstock of Napier grass. So this gives us a great edge in terms of having no dependence on feedstock, which is available in the market. That's an additional benefit for us. Coming on to the pellets part.
Okay. So,
Sorry.
One more question here. So, like, we are doing our own material. So for raw material, we are not dependent on anybody. We'll plant our Napier grass, and then we'll use that for CBG plant, right?
Yes.
That is what we are doing.
Correct.
Also, if I understand correctly, so here in CBG, the contract is like, it's a long-term contract of 5-10 years, right?
Yes.
That is how you get the contract. So, like, if your plant is producing the ample amount of CBG, so it's like you have directly supplied to one or two players with whom you'll do the contract for 5-10 years.
Correct. So our material is sold on day one. Our material is sold on day one for 10 years. You can say that. And there is a price revision every year. Currently, the price is 1480 MMBTU, which plus the compression charges, which comes out to between 80-83 rupees a kg, including compression and transportation, landed at the DCU point or the CNG pump of the CGD.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Rohit Patel, individual investor. Please go ahead.
So what made you, you know, had the thought process of getting into pellets, solid this coal, and is it used in this thermal plants? Can you explain, sir? Please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Great question again. I would like to tell you that the CBG plant, when we are manufacturing CBG, there are two byproducts that come out: solid organic manure and the liquid organic fertilizer. So the solid organic manure is dry and it has calorific value of around 1500 to 2000 calorific kcal. And as we are planting our own Napier grass, that is also one of the most suitable and best feedstock with high GCV for producing pellets. Thirdly, we are sitting in Rajasthan. It is one of the highest states producing mustard, sarson jisko kehte hain hum, mustard producing states in whole of Asia. So if you see the agro residue of mustard, the quantity and availability is so high that there is ample feedstock available even outside our Napier and byproduct of CBG. So all these factors combined, it was fitting very correctly in our portfolio of renewable energy of the solid segment. Hence, we decided to go ahead as there is another mandate of blending 5% pellets with coal in thermal power plants. This is also a mandate issued by the Government of India, where they have to blend 5% biomass pellets with coal in the thermal power plants. So NTPC and other government PSUs having the thermal power plants will be our biggest buyers in this. Along with that, there is a very well established private market also. For example, in our biodiesel unit at Meerut and Phulera, we ourselves are consuming around 100 to 200 tons a month of pellets. So we'll be consuming that in-house also and reducing our cost of producing steam as well. So all these factors combined, it looked like a horizon of 15 to 20 years with both these sectors along with biodiesel and GCC, where we could expand vertically and horizontally and not just focus on growth, but focus on sustainable growth and risk diversification. I hope I have answered your question.
Yeah. Sorry. One counter question I have, follow up. Any kind of, because this is agriculture kind of stuff, right? So any kind of unorganized competition in solid, this whole pellet thing, you think? Any competition to you?
Sir, we are planning around 50 to 75 metric tons a day unit in pellets. So we are having our own byproduct as solid organic manure, Napier grass, and mustard husk is our third go-to raw material. So in terms of competition, there is a fixed price quoted by NTPC. For example, a couple of days back, there is a tender posted by NTPC for buying pellets at their Dadri plant. The requirement is so huge that we are not competitors, we are colleagues. So in the whole renewable energy space, where prices are fixed by the government and we just have to bid the quantities, we eventually are not competitors competing for market share or pricing. The volume demand supply gap is so huge that we end up being colleagues. So I don't see any competition in terms of competing with any company or anyone else. Even if it is there, we have our own feedstock available.
So the line for the participant drop. We move to the next participant. Next question is from line of Mohit Jangir from Invid Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question would be on the biodiesel business. So we have seen in the last few years how ethanol industry has scaled up. So in this similar timeline, we haven't seen biodiesel industry growing at that pace. So what are the key challenges in this sector, and why is it that biodiesel sector is not growing at that pace even when government has set a target of 5% blending by 2030? So what is the reason of the same, and what are the key differentiators or key moat in our business so that other companies cannot scale in biodiesel? That is also one of my questions, because in ethanol, we have seen that many sugar companies, many even other companies have entered into this sector, and they have grown leaps and bounds. They have increased their capacities. So why is it not happening in the biodiesel sector?
Excellent question, sir. As I told in my conversation before, that biodiesel plant has a gestation period, a specific gestation period that everyone has to go through, no matter you are doing it as a business for the first time, or even if it has been 3, 4, 5, 10 years of experience you have in other industry and coming into biodiesel. You will have to learn it the hard way, because the process is technical, and the whole scenario that you learn where you can optimize your operational efficiency takes time. So a lot of companies are not able to be successful in this business because of this reason. Secondly, biodiesel and ethanol comparison is not justified. I'll tell you, because biodiesel diesel sale across the country is 3 to 4 times that of petrol. So achieving the 20% target in ethanol is, in terms of volume, if you see, that's a big achievement, and the push that the government of India has given to this sector is great. Even if we do 500 crore liters, we will achieve the 5% blending target, which is almost 10% of the ethanol target, you can say 10-12%. So government has had more focus towards the ethanol sector. They have given more policy support. You can clearly say that if you compare ethanol and biodiesel. Ethanol has a mandate to blend in petrol, whereas biodiesel has an indicative target. It's mentioned in the policy, but currently the mandate is lacking. We are closely working with the ministry and the OMCs now to find a solution towards mandating the biodiesel blend and taking the program forward and achieving that 5% target. As soon as you see that there is a mandate of blending biodiesel, I don't think you will see a challenge in the growth of biodiesel industry. It's just the regulatory authorities are taking time and doing the subject very seriously, and they have assured that they will give us all the support that is needed to take it to the next level now.
Okay. My second question is on your expansion plans. So since we can clearly see that there is a very big untapped opportunity in biodiesel sector in India itself, but we are targeting markets such as GCC and Europe, which are, I think, at a quite mature or which are already developed. So what is the thesis behind expanding into these regions when you see opportunity size such big in India, or are you moving away from the B2G business? Is that the reason?
Great question, sir. Our first step was to expand both the units and maximize all the land space that we have available in India at both our units. That's why we acquired another unit last year, which was a loss-making unit, and we've turned that around in 1 year's time. So in India, we have scaled our operations to almost 3 and 4 times. Now, as promoters, it is our prime responsibility to diversify our risk and portfolio also. So moving forward, once we achieve the 150 kiloliters per day production target in India, we can plan for expansion as well. The opportunity is not going anywhere. The target is very clear, and the government is in support. Tapping the GCC region, helps us expand vertically in the same sector and gives us an opportunity to target an even bigger market than India. So, having two units supplying to the two best markets in the world, I think two biggest consumers in the world, I think that's the best case scenario that we as management could decide and shortlist to. So that was the strategy behind entering the GCC region for producing biodiesel as well.
Okay. And my final question on the last question was, are we moving away from the B2G business? That is also one of the reasons. And what would be the pricing arbitrage between the domestic operations and what we are targeting in the other geographies?
Sir, taking your second question first, in India, we are selling biodiesel. I'll talk in terms of kg only. Approximately, you can say we're selling at a price of 93 rupees a kg. For selling biodiesel across the world, you need an ISCC certification. That certified ISCC certified biodiesel is selling around $1,450 per metric ton. So that is around 125 rupees a kg. So that's the unit economics of the both prices of biodiesel that we're selling in India as well as abroad. Now, your first question was, are we trying to move away from the B2B business, B2 business to government business, correct? B2G,
yeah.
If I heard you correctly. So,
right.
See, we currently also have a diversified customer portfolio. Our first priority is to complete our country's energy needs. If the government is supporting and they have made a policy, we want to first cater to that. There are a lot of private players we have catered to in the past also. So it's not totally a B2G opportunity in India. It's a B2B opportunity also. Business to business we have, business to government we have. We are just trying to diversify our portfolio and tap into a bigger potential market as compared to India. I'm not saying that India has no potential or potential is weak. Indian potential is strong, but we are tapping a stronger market as well to have a diversified presence in both places. It's always good as promoters and as an MD to think about making a business last for 20, 25, 30, 40 years. So if we don't make a diversified portfolio today, we can't create long-term value. So the reason for opting towards this decision was not deviating from B2G in India, but to establish ourselves in B2G and B2B in a bigger potential market. That is why we expanded our current capacities 3 to 4 times already. If that was the case, we had to move on. Why would have we expanded our capacities at both places? And we also acquired this unit 1 year ago. So our goals and targets are very clear that we have to run at almost 100% next year of our enhanced capacity, along with completing the CBG pellets and export unit by end of next year. We are very clear in that.
Understood, understood. So now I have some questions about your CBG business. So since you see tailwinds in the biodiesel business itself, and now you are venturing into CBG, so is it a misallocation of capital, or what is the thesis behind this venture? As you have clearly said that you will be using your own feedstock, so it will entail a very big investment, I think. So how are we planning for that investment as well?
See, we are planning to go for a preferential round in the times to come for raising money for the GCC unit and CBG unit. We have our own capital as well that we are willing to put in the preferential round also. That's the plan we have as of now. More we can discuss in detail later on with you if you have any queries regarding that. CBG plant is a low revenue, high margin business. This reason, and based on Napier graphs, if you compare apple to apple, if you compare any other manufacturer working on paddy straw or any other agro waste like press mud, our cost is almost 50% to what their landed cost of feedstock is. Hence, we are having EBITDAs of more than 65-70% in the CPG sector. So we have carefully chosen all three businesses in a way that where one, we get big volume and standard margins. Current Indian units, both of them are already working. And CBG, which gives even more strength to our bottom line also. And all three products are mandated by Government of India, as well as there is a mandate coming from 1st January 2028, where it is compulsory to blend 24% biodiesel into marine fuel. So CBG, biodiesel, pellets, all this has been carefully selected. And CBG on Napier is the best opportunity that I see for the next 25-30 years in India, even better than biodiesel. Because all the road logistics and taxi segment would convert itself to CBG in the next 5-10-15 years. So going forward, being present in all three spaces will give us a different kind of mileage and strength.
Okay, understood. My final question would be on the CBG segment only. So since companies like Reliance and Adani, they are setting up thousands of CBG plants, so how will we compete with them? Because I think we might face some challenges on the feedstock side or on the pricing side. So how do we plan to compete with such biggies?
Excellent question, sir. With all due respect, it's a bade players there and they are very well versed with the business and that they do and that they are entering. It's a great thing to know that even they are entering this sector. So that means that stands the value of the sector, number one. Number two, that is why we chose to plant our own feedstock and procure that parcel, that size of land that could suffice, not 10 tons, even double the size of the plant at this place. We'll be planting our own Napier, so our dependency on external feedstock sources is not there at all. So all these plants that Reliance and everyone is establishing, they cannot eat our feedstock, they cannot take away our feedstock. We'll be having our own feedstock and we'll be having our own contract to sell gas. So, technically, we are not competing with each other, again, as I told you, because we have secured our feedstock from day one. The biggest challenge in this business is that people don't have enough feedstock to produce. They don't focus on that area. When they start buying the feedstock, the farmers increase the price and are not able to supply, and they dishonor their contracts of the prices of agro residue. So to counter all of that situation, we decided to first, it took almost one and a half year to eye that parcel of land. 262 acres is very difficult to find. Even if you take a torch and go around the city or near the city or even in villages, having to acquire and to having to acquire that size of land is very difficult. So that's a big achievement that our team has done. And moving forward, this will be a big game changer in the CBG sector, as we will be planting our own feedstock and not depending on any other person. So hence, in this way, we'll be colleagues with the big players, not their competitors.
Understood. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Aryan Bhatia from Invid Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of numbers. Sir, I have one question.
Can you please come in a better reception area and speak to handset?
Your voice was cracking.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Your voice is still breaking a little bit.
Hello.
Please try.
Hello, I'm audible. Hello.
Yes, Arvind, please go ahead.
Sir, in your opening remarks, you said we are bid for the highest volume ever. even the history of the company. So I just wanted to know the quantity and price you have bid for and when it will be supplied to get the tender.
Sir, we have bid for that and as soon as we have the allocations, we will be coming out with the number. I regret to inform you that I am not permitted by my company secretary to give unpublished sensitive information here. As soon as we have the allocation, you'll know, but I have quoted that we've bid for the highest volume and that needs to be supplied by March. As soon as we have the allocation.
And can you specify the steady-state EBITDA margin can we expect in the X2?
Sir, your voice is breaking. I'm sorry.
So, can you specify the steady-state?
Do you have anyone else in the same call? There's a bit of an echo in your call, in your line.
Hello. My question is, can you specify the steady-state EBITDA margin can we expect in H2 for this financial year?
Sir, on the same lines.
Okay. And any plans to get into the sustainable aviation fuel market considering that we will be having a 1-2% mandatory blend in the upcoming years?
Excellent question, sir. The GCC plant unlocks the opportunity of establishing a SAF unit also, which is sustainable aviation fuel. So I would like to share with you that almost 60-50% of the unit of sustainable aviation fuel is the biodiesel unit in itself. And then the finishing and the hydrogenation process happens where sustainable aviation fuel is made. So in times to come, 5-6 years down the line, we would be planning to enter that sector. It's a very naive and primitive thought with us at the moment. We have not thought fully that we will go into that sector, but we have been making provisions for that also.
Okay, got it. And sir, in the CBG segment, can we expect more than 80% EBITDA margin? Because why am I asking that? Because one of the competitors, without own feedstock, they are doing 70% EBITDA margin in CBG. So you will be having your own feedstock. So can we expect around 80% EBITDA margin and 40+ fat margin in the segment?
Sir, it's very easy to quote all these numbers, 80% EBITDA and 40% PAT. I don't know on what basis the competitor has said that, but surely 70-75% EBITDA is there.
So my question is like your competitor is doing 70% EBITDA margin only, but we will be having our own feedstock. So can we expect more than that?
Yes, yes. If the competitor is already doing that, we will be positioned better than them as they are not, they are dependent on external feedstock. That's for sure. There is no doubt in that. Our cost of feedstock is almost half of what is available in the market. At the same gas percent yield.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. That's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next follow-up question is from the line of Ankur Arora from Invid Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand, like, as you're expanding to Europe, so any risk, regulatory risk you are seeing over there?
Sir, we are not expanding into Europe. We are expanding in the Middle East, which is the Gulf region, GCC, jisko kehte hain. We will be tapping the European market opportunity from there also. So there are two big markets that are available for us from the GCC. One is Europe, where there is a 14% biodiesel blending mandate. And the second one is the marine fuel, which is very low sulfur fuel oil. Marine fuel ka technical name is VLSFO, in which 24% biodiesel is mandated to be blended by 1st January 2028. So these are the two potential markets that we'll be tapping from GCC. Why GCC and why not from India? Because freight costs from India to Europe are exorbitant. There is not enough traffic at Mundra and Kandla. You don't find ships. So our shipment doesn't go out properly and whenever you require. Secondly, GCC is the center of the world. There is so much of traffic that logistics cost is the least compared to anywhere in the world if you're wanting to transport to Europe. And the marine market is readily existing in the ports all across the GCC. So to tell you that we are not expanding into Europe, We are tapping the Europe market by establishing a unit in the Middle East. You can say it like that.
Understood, sir. Understood. Yeah. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Puneet Thakkar for closing comments.
Thank you all the investors for turning up for the maiden conference call of Rajputana Biodiesel Limited. And now I'd like to hand over to Mr. Sarthak Soni for the concluding comments of this conference call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Puneetji. And thank you, Mr. Moderator, for organizing this call and having all the things happen very smoothly. On my closing note, I extend my heartfelt gratitude to each one of you for your trust, patience and belief in our vision. It is your support that fuels our ambition, and I assure you that we will continue to build a stronger and more sustainable India. Along with that, once again, we'll be seeing you very soon with great news and great updates all along our way, as we intend to become a one-stop solution in solid, liquid and gas segments. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Rajputana Biodiesel Limited and Samvad Partners Investor Relations Agent, thank you, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.